So for those of you, it is nice. So there's a lot of familiar faces here. Some not so familiar, but for those of you that don't know who I am, and I, like Kevin last week, like to walk around. So I'll be wandering around, hopefully with as much purpose as Kevin had. That was pretty good last week. So I was like, I wasn't sure if I was really excited to come and speak this week because I'm sandwiched in between Kevin. And so it's like Kevin on my week before, Kevin on the week after. So it was really encouraging. I thought last week just to the challenge of just with Peter and just the what a challenge to take up everything that you know and are familiar with and just to take it up and follow the Lord. So that was really encouraging. But for those of you that don't know me, so Sandra, right? Yes. Said... You know, she said, what's the family connection here? And I'm like, oh, there isn't one. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, Matt and Renee. So you guys know Matt and Renee Heidemann. So that's the family connection. My wife, Nikki, back there in the white shirt, is Matt's sister. And so they grew up west of Plymouth. So that's the family connection in the area connection. And then also now the family connection as well is I also have my niece and nephew here, Reagan and Braden, so which is Nikki's sister's kids. So all kinds of family connections here, and it's really fun. Well, if we talk about kind of the history going back, 2001, my wife and I went into ministry with New Tribes Mission. Spent most of our years of ministry up in Wisconsin at one of their Bible colleges, training future missionaries and supporting the missionaries there with their technology needs. So that's the ministry that I was in. We spent some time in Indonesia, setting up a network for a training center there for New Tribes Mission. And then the last couple years we've been down in Florida, up until December. No, wait a minute. Wow. April. December is when we made the decision to leave the ministry. Pretty much. So we came back April 21st from Florida. And most people ask us when we say, oh, where'd you come back from? We're like, Florida. And they're like, why? Most people go the other direction. But again, family's here. I have both of my brothers still live in. I grew up in Aurora. So most of you are familiar where that is, obviously. And both of my brothers are still in Nebraska. So that's a little bit of the history. We came back. I now work for an online university called Western Governors University, and I mentor and advise, counsel students that are getting their bachelor's degree in IT networking. So that's what I do, and I work from home. So I'm very privileged to be able to work from home and to live anywhere, which means now closer to family. So that's exciting. And another connection here, we'll just do some more history. If I talk more about history, then it makes my time go faster. So, but it's neat too, even talking about Father's Day today, which we'll get to very quickly. Even from a dad's perspective, some other cool connection of history from our family's perspective, we have a daughter. We have one daughter. She's married, lives north of Chicago. And just got married a year ago, but some of this connection and helping train up, Ed talked about, you know, going to Bible studies and learning and growing. But part of that was the encouragement that some people in this congregation had for us. Brian and Jody and their daughter Charlene and Jessica were very much an influence on us as well, as they helped babysit our daughter Brittany when she was little, and Jake and Alicia, before they were married, Alicia also babysat our daughter Brittany. And so we have all kinds of connections and are very thankful for the godly influence that you guys had on our daughter. So anyway, so from a father's perspective, Charlene, Jody, Jake, all you guys, thank you so much. So anyway, that's us. So how many of you in here are fathers? Raise your hand. Okay, now keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. How many of you in here, you might have to use two hands here. How many of you are also grandfathers that are fathers? Stick up your other hand. Okay, keep them up. it's okay. It's like giving praise, right? Okay, now, keep them up. How many of you up here, this is kids, ladies, how many of you in you here have a father? Okay, okay, all right. At some point, pretty much, okay, thank you for changing. Pretty much 100% at some point that we had a father. The message is there's going to be things that are applicable to everybody today, but it definitely is geared towards fathers. So happy Father's Day to all you fathers. But I want to ask you a question for everybody here. When you think of the word father or dad, does this come to mind? It's Saturday morning. The grass needs mowed. The garden needs weeding. The drains overflow. The gutter is a clutter. The car needs repair, as your car does, right? All need his attention, but he doesn't care. The roof has a leak and new shingles are waiting. His long list of to-dos are accumulating. So what's so important to warrant delay? Does he think if ignored, they'll just go away? How can this man with so much on his plate find good cause or reason to procrastinate? It's because he's a man who is certainly wise, a giant of a man in his family's eyes. A man who knows well his priorities and chooses the moments that are important to seize. So where is this man with so much to be done? Well, he's in the backyard playing catch with his son. Is that the memories that you have? Good? Some of you are, I see smiling. Some of you may be smiling on the inside, thinking of your father. Some situation, kids, of memories similar. I have good memories of my dad. My dad was just there. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I don't remember sitting on the couch snuggling up to dad reading me stories, but I just remember him being there. I remember he loved me. I remember he did play ball. He went to our ball games. I remember the mowing of the grass. Usually if the tall grass was mowed, before we played catch, I was out mowing. But I just remember dad being there. So I have very good memories. My dad is now a believer, and I have a better relationship really now with my dad than I really ever have over the last 10, 12 years. So for me, I can identify with this. But I'm not naive or have my head in the sand enough, especially today, in this world today. Maybe, I hope not, but perhaps when you think of dad, my father doesn't bother to write or contact me. I wonder what the reason is for him not wanting me. I thought that you said that you cared, but when I was little, you left me alone and you left me scared. I would have been much better off if you would have just stayed with me instead of saying those things you said. I worked so hard not to care. I just feel so sad, lonely, and blue. If only you knew all the things that I had been through, maybe it would have tempted you with a reason to stay. But all you left me was a chill. Now my heart is empty still. Was it so hard to love your child? I'm sure you had to leave the state. I know, and I hope that you know, that you have helped shape my fate. My fate of not feeling worthy of love. So if I ever see you again, I'll read you the title to this poem. I'll turn the other way and say, my father doesn't bother. I didn't want to talk about negative things on Father's Day, but the reality is that's what some of you think, and instead of the smiling on the inside or smiling on the outside, there's tears. There's bitterness that creeps up, perhaps even hatred of a father that wasn't, or a father that wasn't there, or you as a father of, maybe that's you. But The one thing I want to look at is that even from that one child's perspective, their fate, I want to encourage you and stay with me to the end, because we will talk about the Father who truly can shape your fate and your destiny. God the Father, and what he's done through Jesus Christ, is the ultimate Father for all of us. And that's what we want to focus on today. One thing we're going to start with here is to look at Abraham. And before we do, turn to the word here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our Father. I pray for each one that is here this morning as we celebrate Father's Day, whatever that means, example A, example B, or somewhere in between, for our fathers or even us ourselves, challenge us today to be the men, the man, the son, and even the daughters, the wives that you want us to be, Lord, to look to you, the only true, perfect Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look. I had like three examples to look at, but I knew I was going through my time, and I've been way over. So I'm trying to shrink this down so you guys don't have to listen to me all day. So let's look at Abraham, a great man of faith and a father in the scriptures. Mostly talked about in Genesis 11 through 25. We're going to briefly talk about Abraham and then briefly talk about David, just to show a couple examples of fathers in the scriptures. Abraham, as you know, most of you know that Abraham is the father of Israel. God made a covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your nation great. I'm going to let you inherit this land that is filled with pagans, and I'm going to give you sons and daughters as numerous as the sky. At a time when he had zero kids and was, I believe, the first time that God talked to Abraham, he was about 75. I know, as having no kids at home anymore, at 44, I cannot imagine starting over now, let alone at 75. I'm sure most of us are in the same boat that would be at that age. But we see here, my point that we want to get out of here is that we see that God, with Abraham, made a covenant with him. And Abraham, this is such a great verse, and we see after it says, Abraham, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And what was Abraham's response? Genesis 15:6, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. I like how the New Living Translation ends this verse. It says, because of his faith. That's the point. He didn't doubt God. We don't see him going, oh man, I don't know. I'm kind of old. I don't think I can have any kids. What do you mean? You want me to take where my family is, where my roots are, where everybody is, and you want me to take them and take my wife, and you want me to take my wife and my nephew and leave and go to this land filled with pagans? I don't know. It says, no, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He had faith. And we see later, and then as Abraham becomes a father, you see time and again Abraham's faithfulness. But we also see, was he perfect? No. We see as a father that Abraham still had weaknesses. He struggled just like each one of us does as dads, and things that I think of all the times that I blew it raising our daughter. But God is faithful. Even through my weaknesses, through my mess ups, God was still faithful. So what did Abraham do? What was some of his weaknesses? Well, a lot of times he became fearful. There was a time, so right after it talks about the Lord in Genesis 12, giving him his promise, and after his call, and they left, and they go out from Haran and takes his nephew and all their possessions, and they go into Canaan, and then there's a famine. and things get hard. And instead of just trusting the Lord when it got hard, he becomes fearful and he's, okay, we need to go to Egypt. He packs him up and he leaps and he goes to Egypt. And not only does he go to Egypt, but he lies to the Pharaoh about who his wife is. Says, oh, no, she's my sister. Well, she really was his half-sister. But point is that he's covering up because he didn't know what to do. He goes, well, I'll get this figured out on my own, right? And how many times is us that? You know, I always think of we always said the classic stories of directions. And who in here familiar with IKEA furniture? Anyone? Okay, great. I love this stuff. It's awesome. But it has thousands of pieces oftentimes to put it together. When we moved down to Florida, my father-in-law and some friends, they're on vacation, and we move in and we got all new IKEA furniture because we hadn't got new, we get this furniture. And I was like, yes, somebody's here to help me put it together. And they spent hours. I say they because they did most of the work, actually. And I just kind of helped hold pieces and say, here, hand me this. Because he's much handier than I am. But so it takes thousands of pieces, but it's like the first thing, and their instructions are sometimes good and sometimes not. But my first thought is, it's like, we don't need the instructions. You just kind of lay it out and just do it your own way, right? Because it's always better that way. And then finally, when you're horribly frustrated, guys were like, and, you know, wife's not looking, you know, somebody's not looking, like, okay, let me just go look at the instructions here. Okay. And then you go back and act like you know what you're doing again. We do that, don't we, with so many things. I mean, the furniture is a silly example, but we do that so many times where we as fathers, we want to do it our own way. Just like Abraham did. It's like, God, I know that you promised these things. I know you're going to take care of me, but Lord, something bad might happen if I don't lie to the Pharaoh. And he takes Sarah in to his harem. And the other point we're going to see out of this is the Pharaoh takes in to be one of his wives, and it's like, leaves her untouched. Pharaoh, God brings disease on Pharaoh to protect Sarah. God's faithful to his promises, even though Abraham lied and put her in that situation, and Pharaoh's like, gives her back untouched. We see it again in Genesis 20 with Abimelech. Abraham does the same thing, lies about Sarah, and says that here, it's my sister. Abimelech takes it in, and then the Lord goes to Abimelech in Genesis 20, 9 through 11. We see the response. Abimelech finally goes to the Lord and goes, Lord, I did this with a clear conscience. I took her in with a clear conscience because I thought it was his sister. And the Lord, it's really cool here. This is a paraphrase, but he says, yeah, you're right. You did do it with a clear conscience. And so another amazing thing in these situations, these guys are leaders. They're kings. The Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world. And Sarah remained untouched in every way that you think of. God was faithful even though Abraham was not in those times. And we see that Abraham was a man, a father with weaknesses. But God remained faithful. It's a really cool response. Abimelech finally comes back to Abraham and he goes, what have you done? What did you try to do this to me for? And gives Sarah back. And we don't have time to go into all the context, but the point there being that God is faithful when we are not, guys. Now, we're probably not giving our wives over to, you know, leaders of the country. But nonetheless, we have other weaknesses. We all try to do things our own way. David. I have a bunch of verses for David, because we see him scattered throughout the Psalms. Does anybody want to tell me what the one thing that comes to mind often the first time we think of David, what did God say about David? He was a man what? After God's own heart. Wow, if you don't remember anything else, guys, for today, We're going to talk about leaving a legacy here in just a minute, that we talk that is the ultimate compliment from the Lord, that you are a man after God's own heart. Not that you're a good father. Why? Because if you're a man after God's own heart, those things just fall into place. If you're a man after God's own heart, you are being the father that God wants you to be. You're leaving the legacy for your kids that God wants you to be. You're loving your kids. That's the ultimate compliment. It's like, wow. And again, God made a covenant with David, and we see David's lineage all the way through. It's an eternal covenant. Clear up, you see David and his son Nathan, comes to the lineage of Mary. So we see David's covenant going through. David was a father. 22 times David was a father. With, I think, nine different wives, I think. So the guy he was not perfect. Some of David's weaknesses, some of these we remember even more so than Abraham's, because they're very stark, something that sticks out as a very heavy sin that David has done. Anybody want to throw out one that comes to mind? With David, I'll put you on the spot. Bathsheba. So he sees, he lusts after this woman. He commits adultery with Bathsheba, another man's wife. So he commits adultery. Then he tries to cover up the whole conspiracy for the thing, puts her husband in. When he can't figure it out himself, he tries to even do it more. Remember this whole pattern, doing it in his own way, even though... So he go, and you have to remember, this is David. This is a guy that when he was a boy, going to be the king, a young king, comes out in front of all these soldiers. And I don't know why I picture this, but I always picture when I think of David coming to the front, it's almost funny to me, because you think of David being and it says he was small, comes in front of the soldiers into this huge Philistine giant. And I always picture either like as a dad, you put a dress on your little girl to play with, but it's mom's dress, so it hangs like 3 feet behind and it just doesn't fit, you know, and she's trying to drag the dress along. Or the dad, he comes here, son, and sticks the football helmet on him, but it's way too big, and so it just kind of shifts back and forth and his eyes are over here. For some reason, that's what I think of David. He comes out, I just think of awkward. This is totally my... of what I think of. It has nothing to do with what the scripture actually says. But you can get a picture of David coming through, this little boy that he certainly does not fit. And he comes through and says, today the Lord's going to give us over to the Philistines. And he takes a slingshot and whacks the giant over and he falls dead. So this is the same boy who says, the Lord will give these guys into our hands. He is faithful. He now commits, but that's the same guy. Commits adultery, covers it up, sends Uriah to the front lines of the battle. Uriah gets killed, so he initiated the murder, really, for Uriah, because he put him on the front lines knowing that he would die, and then runs from the Lord, runs out into the wilderness away from Saul. This is a very fast forward of David's life, and he runs through there, and he's hiding, and he's miserable because he's doing his own thing, and he won't turn to the Lord. He's just in anguish. And dads, how many times do we make a bad decision and we just, for some reason, can't let it go? You're like, no, I know this is the right thing to do, and but until finally, in this case, it takes Nathan. And we hear, this is what David was going through. As Psalm 32:3 to 53 has the whole story. If you want to go read it, Psalm 32:3 to 53. And so, 3 through 5, sorry. That's a long psalm, although some are. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand, the Lord's hand, was heavy on me. My strength was sapped in the heat of the summer. Then here's the key. I acknowledged my sin and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Guys, sons, daughters, dads, if dad does not bring something pleasant to your mind when you hear the word. It doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't make it just go away. But we can forgive. No matter what we've done, no matter what dad has done, there is forgiveness. We can forgive. Doesn't mean you forget, but we can forgive. We can learn to be better fathers, to be better grandfathers, to be better sons and daughters. And finally, and this is, well, going to end David here because I need, so another thing, David, just remember, God made a covenant with him, said he was a man after God's own heart. He turns, spends the rest of his life from what we have being faithful, writing most of the Psalms that you are familiar with. But Nathan had to come to him and point to him, and he tells him a story, and David burns with anger about this man. And Nathan says, that was you. He says, that was you. And sometimes that's what we have to hear, isn't it? As hard as it is, Nathan says, that was you, David. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And he has consequences to the sin. He says, your son's going to die, and he does 7 days later. So it's a pretty abysmal consequence. But these two men will be remembered and were written into scriptures in the great Hall of Faith chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the scriptures, Hebrews 11. Abraham takes up 10 verses of that. But here's, by faith Abraham, by faith Abraham, by faith Abraham tested. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. So by faith Abraham, that's how we walk as a good father, by faith in the Lord. And then there's so many other ones, and David gets into verse 32 of Hebrews 11. He says, and what more shall I say, the author of the Hebrews? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. All right, now to the, there's a couple examples of fathers who were not perfect, try to do things on their own at times, but are remembered by their faithfulness to the Lord. Awesome, awesome stories and truths from the Word. Now, fathers, here's a couple things that you can put down. What does a father do? What does a godly father do? And I have 7 things here. And if you could help me, if you could, I'd like to have people take turns reading these scriptures. We're not going to go into context of the scriptures, but we're just going to cover some things that if you want to take something with you, in the time that you can learn and grow as a father, here's some things that you can do. Fathers, lead. Somebody read Psalms 143:10 and John 16:13. Can somebody read those out? Psalm 143:10 and John 16:13. And while they're looking that up, could somebody look up Proverbs 1:8? And Jeremiah 32:33. Proverbs 1:8 and Jeremiah 32:33. So who has Psalms 143? All right. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. You are my God. May your spirit lead me on level ground. God leads us. Fathers, we need to lead our families. Next one. John 16:13. How do we do that? This answers the question. How do we do that? In our own strength? Can somebody read that for us? What an awesome promise of God is us. He leads us. He's gone before us, he went to the cross and rose again, but he didn't leave us alone. All of us that are believers, he left us the Spirit to guide us and to lead us. And a father teaches. The next two verses. Who has Proverbs 1:8?
Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching.
All right. kids, listen to your folks. A father should teach. In Jeremiah 32:33, I have to pull Ferris Bueller here in just a minute, if anyone remembers that movie. Anyone? Yeah, that's right. Thank you. All right, I'll read that one. Jeremiah 32:33, they turned their backs to me and not their faces. Though I taught them again and again, they would not listen or respond to discipline. God is teaching us all the time. And how many times do we not listen, and we turn our back? We always look at Israel, right? Those guys were terrible. They never listened to the God never listened to God, and he showed them all the time. We do the same thing. But we need to listen. We need to teach our kids. We need to listen. Now, as a father, I'll read some of these here. A father provides. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with whatever you have, because God said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. And Philippians 6, I love this section. Philippians 4, 6, and then 11 through 13. Listen to this here. God provides. Fathers, we need to provide. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present yourself, your request to God. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and what I have to have, and what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We oftentimes know the last verse of that section. But as fathers, we need to provide. We have the ultimate provider in Jesus Christ. But the cool thing there, it doesn't mean, oh, ask whatever and he'll give you whatever and he'll heal whatever. And he certainly can. But it says he has learned, we have learned to be content in whatever circumstance. Paul says here, I have been hungry. I have been in need. I have been wealthy. I have been poor. Doesn't matter, guys. As a father, we can provide where we're at for our family, and way more important, to provide that spiritual need for our kids. They will remember those things so much more than another thing. And for the sake of time, I had father disciplines and corrects, the father protects, the father's love, and fathers leave a legacy. And I want to get to that one. So fathers, what legacy are you leaving your kids? Proverbs 17:6. Fathers leave a legacy. Children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. What a verse. Are there a crown? Children are a crown, and their parents, the pride of their children. Isn't that cool? It's both situations. Your kids should be looking to you, and you are a crown to your kids. It's a neat two-way street. All right, so in closing, for those of you especially that answered the question at the beginning where your God was absent, that doesn't happen, where your fathers maybe weren't there, or even if they were, here is what I want you to hear. We've seen situations. We've seen two men who were faithful but had weaknesses. They were sinners. They struggled. But God. But God. And if you don't write anything else down, remember a man after God's own heart from David. And these scriptures, you can see me after these for these. No matter what your earthly father was to you, from here on out, guys, from now, today, to the future, and people that need to restore that relationship, give forgiveness to their fathers, perhaps, you always have the eternal God that supplies all your needs in Christ Jesus. But God, Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Or you may have heard, his mercies never cease. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And if we saw in Abraham, we saw in David, I certainly have seen it in my life. 2 Timothy 2:13, God remains faithful to his promises even when we are faithless. We are unfaithful to him. That is an incredible truth as us fathers. Something, if you've messed up, it could be done. Christ has covered that sin. Start restoration today. God's faithful, even though we're not. Love. Talk about Father being providing love. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It doesn't say that he's going to give us everything we need, right? But he promises to hear us and to answer in his own time. So, fathers, one of the most powerful things that you can do in your life is get on your knees and pray for your kids. Kids, pray for your fathers. Kids, pray for your fathers. And I'm going to end with this here. I hope this come together a little bit for you. Dads, happy Father's Day. We have the but God factor as every believer. We try to do things in our own way. But one of the most comforting sections to me in all of Scripture is John 10, 27 to 29. And I'm going to end here. So think of this, fathers. Think of your, think of this, kids. Think of this, wives. This one applies to every believer, of what God has done for you. While you were his enemy, thinking about maybe if dad doesn't bring back good memories, and even if he does, while you were God's enemy, he demonstrated his own love towards you and died for you when you were still his enemy. That same God that saved you, John 10, 27 to 29, my sheep listen to my voice. I love this section. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one, everyone has this Father that's a believer. Take comfort. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Think of that picture. Dads, most of us would do absolutely everything that we can. This goes for moms too. Absolutely everything that we would do to protect our children, to hold them in our hands, would we not? Now take the God that died for the sins of the world and created the universe is telling us the same thing. That's the God, the Father, that we have as believers. The ultimate Father's Day gift is Jesus Christ, and the ultimate example for us as fathers. Thank you for hanging with me. I know I talked a long time. And as a dad, I probably shouldn't even do this, but I'm going to do it really quick because this gets me. My daughter sent me a gift for Father's Day, and from Amazon, right? Because Amazon's the greatest place to order stuff from. And in here, I took out the little gifts, like, oh, that's cool, and I took a picture, and I texted to her. This was earlier, so she was probably still in bed. But then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, there's a little note in the bottom of the box. And dads, these are the moments that make Father's Day great for me. Dad, I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day. Thanks for being the best dad in the whole world. Love you lots. I can't wait to see you in a few weeks. Brittany. That's what keeps you going as a dad. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the examples of the men that we look at today on Father's Day that were faithful to you, that you left for us to read in your word. And Lord, thank you to show us their brokenness, to show us their sin, to show us that they're just regular guys that you used as a vessel in your plan. Lord, I pray for each one here as we celebrate Father's Day, for those that have a father, and for us as fathers and grandfathers. Lord, whatever we do, I pray that we look to you, the ultimate and only perfect Father. And Lord, I know I've messed up so many times as a dad, Lord, and I do ask forgiveness for those things that I still mess up, even though my role has changed. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ultimate example, and thank you, and just pray that you would, that each dad today here would just have a very special day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.